Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll in Northeast Ohio. Sometimes none of that. It's an occasional podcast, but a podcast nonetheless. My name is Eagle. Today's a fun one, man. Today we got an old friend of the show. He's a podcaster. He's a singer. He was in some of your favorite hardcore bands back in the 90s in the Northeast Ohio scene. Bands like Splinter, Don Austin. He was in recently, you know, Persistent Aggressor. He's got some stuff up on deck now. Talking about Larry Gargis, also the host of the Bleach Mouth Postscript podcast. I highly recommend going to listen to the episode that he did with me on there, where we talked about my five favorite Northeast Ohio bands since I started doing Keeping It 99 with Grant back in, 2016? Larry's putting on a show up at Musica this Saturday, the July 23rd, with two of the bands that I had on my five list. Those bands being Actual Form, which always a good time. Sweaty Mammoth, just my personal, my numero uno, you know. I just love those guys. And Thunder Chief from Richmond, Virginia. We're going to be talking a little bit about that show. We're going to be talking about the pizza party July 30th as well. A little bit. And you're like, oh, pizza party? Yeah, dude. It's another Keeping It 99 pizza party with, just the most dope hardcore band out today. Also, we talk about them on Bleach Mouth Postscript. Wall Creeper, man. Wall Creeper, Cleveland's something involving a monkey, and our old friends Cheap Heat, you know, pro wrestling theme stuff. Cheap Heat, always fun, something involving a monkey. This is the first time that they're going to be doing a pizza party. And not only is this a pizza party, but it's part of the Rubber City Tattoo Invitational after party, where you can go over to Mr. Zub's. They got deals on food. There's going to be DJing going on, but you come over to Annabelle's, we're going to have ourselves a little hardcore show. It's $5 for anybody. If you have a wristband from the Tattoo Invitational, it's free for you. Pizza's going to be getting served up right around 9:15, 9:20, if I'm being real, probably 9:20. And then you can get some pizza. It's going to kick off. You're going to get your Cheap Heat. You're going to get something involving a monkey. And let me just say this. If you haven't heard or seen something involving a monkey, you're going to enjoy it. Wait until the show. Do that thing where you experience the band first and then become a fan, or, you know, follow them on tour. Do whatever it is. I've been a fan of that band for a long time. And Wall Creeper, man. Wall Creeper tears the place down. They're my favorite band to see live. Ever since the first time I saw them, I just been singing their praises. If you need something to do, July 29th, July 30th, or even July 31st, get your ass down to the John S. Knight Center, man. Tony and Elizabeth are running this Tattoo Invitational. I've been very fortunate for the past 6-7 months. I've gotten to work in the tattoo industry, in the business. I am a tattoo shop manager for two different locations, Black Tooth Tattoo and Assassin Tattoo, or desk guy if you want to be a dick about it, I guess. It's an exciting gig. I look forward to every day. Every day is like a new adventure, meeting different kind of people with different kinds of stories. Go check out the Rubber City Tattoo Invitational, dude. I mean, everything from they're going to have live tattooing. There's all different kinds of vendors you can buy cool stuff from. Bring the kids. It's going to be a good time for all. The John S. Knight Center. Get yourself a weekend pass, man. And I'm going to be up there. So come high five me. Let's hang out. Let's do the thing, as Macho Man Randy Savage would say. I'm really excited about it, honestly, and I'm excited about this show. Thanks to Tony and Elizabeth again for allowing me to be a little a little part of something is so cool and big. John S. Knight Center, July 29th through the 31st. Yeah, please, please come on up and listen. Like I say, if you got the pass to the tattoo convention, then you got the pass to the pizza party. It's already done. It's paid for. It's there for you. So before we get into this episode, we talk a little bit about the shows and stuff. This podcast really is just two middle-aged dudes on a Saturday morning. Listen, Larry, the night before, he was DJing up at Zub's, right? And he was up to like 3 a.m. DJing. And then he had to go to Atlanta the next afternoon. So sometime in the morning, he made time to talk with me. And I had my first day off, because I work like 90 jobs now. I had my first day off in forever. And I was up all night the night before playing video games because I'm awesome and I'm an adult. And excuse me, I'm burping here, if you ever heard of it. And then I had to go see my mom. And so I was kind of like in this, like, oh, I have to go do stuff still. And I'm so burnt out. And I'm tired. Right? We got cranky as fuck. Like, literally, it was like, I'd be like, Zach Wilde. And then I'd just be like, actually, that guy's fucking... It was like, there's no punches pulled. I don't know why we were throwing punches. So I'm going to say this, listener discretion. If you like things or people, this specific episode, you might not like us. But I didn't really have time to edit things out or put little music things in and stuff because, I am a busy man. So I'm just leaving this conversation pretty much as is. Yeah, screw it. And if you got anything to say, come out this Saturday. Come out today, tomorrow, whenever it is you're listening to this, July 23rd. See actual form, Thunder Chief, Sweaty Mammoth at the Musica. And if you can't make that, then please come out to the John S. Knight Center the 29th through the 31st and hunt me down and say mean things to me. Or come see me at Annabelle's The Night with Wall Creeper, something involving a monkey, cheap heat, pizza. Man, it's a good time. It's a good time. All right. So let's, without further ado, let's get into the episode with our friend Larry Gargis. Two middle-aged dudes on a Saturday morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, time for Keeping It 99.
Oh man, what have you been listening to lately?
There's this hardcore band called Histamine that I like quite a bit. I've been listening to them. Slant from Korea, South Korea, another hardcore band. They've I've been listening a lot, since the LP came out, but the 7-inch prior was really good. There's a French hardcore band called Bombardment that's really good. They have a couple LPs and a 7-inch, but I only got the one LP because my buddy Dennis happened to be carrying it as part of his distro. Otherwise, I'd have to order it from Europe, and it would have cost me 70 something bucks to get. Like, it doesn't make sense to buy just one record if you're ordering from Europe. But I also didn't want to spend like $80 on two records that I hadn't really heard. I'd only heard the EP, and sometimes bands put out duds, but Dennis had it and I was able to get it for, 20 bucks or whatever, So that and as per my usual, tons of Black Sabbath, tons of Voivod.
Yeah.
I saw them relatively recently and that was fucking awesome.
That's crazy. Yeah. How long have they been a band now? It's like, 40 years, 40 plus?
I think so. Their first LP came out in 84, but I think, I should know this. I should be an expert, but I don't know everything. But I think they've been a band since 82. Like, they were doing their demos and shit. And but I think War and Pain came out in 84, and they're still putting out. Like, they had a low period as far as records go, but objectively, those records are really good, but subjectively, within the context of everything else stated, they had like a lull.
Yeah.
And then starting with Target Earth, they really, I mean, they were doing good stuff when Newstead was in the band too, but Target Earth was the first real return to form, and they're putting out albums that are just as good as Dimension Hatross and Nothing Phase. I sort of prefer the earlier stuff because that's what I've lived with the longest, but these records are equally good. And the new one, Sync or Anarchy, is really fucking good. Nice. There's a song on there called Planet Eaters that is just, it's a fucking crusher. And it's so funny because I don't like prog music or stuff that's overly complicated. I like songs, you know?
Right, yeah.
But I think that's what Voivod does. They sort of thread that needle of writing good songs with good hooks and good riffs with these really complex song structures and just oddball shit, you know. But whatever. You've heard me talk about them enough in the past.
Yeah. So
I'll just stop. But yeah, a lot of Sabbath, Bombardment, Histamine, Slant. There's a French oi band, and I'm not like, oi to me is just punk rock. I know that there's a difference, but it just sounds like punk rock to me. But there's a French oi band that has been around for a good grip that I only caught wind of like 2 years ago, called Reeks, R-E-X-E. Mm-hmm. They're really fucking good. And just a lot of R&B and soul. That's what I was listening to all night last night, mostly.
Yeah.
And some hip hop. So,
yeah. Know. What was it? Was it OPP that you were spinning?
No, Matt actually. Like, when for those who don't know, my friend Matt and I, we DJ in the square, specifically at Zubs, like twice a month, just random dates, you know. Mario gives random dates, and it's always on a Friday though. And Matt is, he's been doing punk night Annabelle's for ever, and he and I invited him to do one of the nights at a matinee, and we formed this little partnership thing. So on his punk nights, he does exclusively that and power pop and stuff like that. And on the nights I can join him on those, which is rare, only in the summertime, I'll play like hardcore punk. But when we do Zubs, we mix it up. Like, we'll play a little bit of punk rock, but a lot of power pop, a lot of glam stuff, you know, T-Rex, shit like that. But we'll get in like 60s and 70s soul, and sometimes I'll get into real deep funk. And I've even played a lot of neos. I was playing a lot of neo soul last night, some Maxwell and Groove Theory and shit like that. But he was playing like Desmond Decker, which is this ska dude. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he dropped Real G's by Eazy-E.
Oh yeah.
Just needle dropped it after a ska song. And I don't mean 90s ska, I mean like 60s ska, like reggae. Like,
okay.
I don't know if Desmond Decker 60s, but I know he's before that 90s fucking craziness that people called ska. but he dropped Real G's by Eazy-E. And then after he put on OPP, and I just started laughing at him. It's a good song. It's a great song, but it's also kind of ridiculous because I'm just, and that hook is just so I was like, oh, so we're doing this now. And then my turn was on up after that, so we did a quick hip-hop set, played it like maybe an hour and a half of hip-hop before I started playing soul again, you know.
Did you drop any Digital Underground?
No, I think I started with the show by Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh crew. And then I played Blase Blase, Jurassic 5, Big Daddy Kane, Method Man, and a bunch of other shit, EPMD, a bunch of other shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, we mix it up because it's more fun that way, trying to see where we can go.
Yeah.
Throughout the night. But every once in a while, Matt will do a needle drop. He'll like one night, he was playing like Dusty Springfield or something, and next song up he busted out Slam by Onyx. I'm like, really? Like, he did it just to watch himself do it because he wanted to make me laugh, you know, because like I said, normally we sort of like follow where the music takes us, but he was just, I think I'm gonna listen to put that on. So, you know,
I opened up for Onyx once with my nerdy record.
How was it?
It was fun. It was cool.
Yeah. Were they nice dudes, or were they, or did they bully you for your backstage waters?
I barely talked to any of them. I got to speak with Sticky Fingers from the
are
group.
They, are they indeed sticky?
Yeah, that's where that I got must the name have been, for that, sure.
That must have been the least pleasurable hand job you've ever gotten.
Second to least, but I talked to him for like just a minute. He had no clue, like, you know,
yeah,
that I was playing the show or anything. It was one of those old Peabody's deals, you know, like where there was like 20 fucking bands. It was one of those situations. I don't even remember what room we played in.
But I gotta tell you, I'm not trying to bring like a lot of negativity here, but
who gives a shit?
Listen, that Peabody's episode was fucking painful to listen to.
Oh yeah.
Yes. You were great.
I was fantastic.
My fucking head was going to explode. But anyway, yeah.
Well, you're so punk rock. Dan Cole is like, yeah, you fuck off. You're over here talking about what, like French oi bands and shit. Like I'm supposed to know what that is? You're punk rock.
Punk rock, dude. Listen, I don't know what French oi bands are. I just, I mean, that band
is. You know, it's a thing. You know, it's a thing.
I didn't know it was a thing. Like when I think of oi, I think of like, you know, English soccer hooligans, like Blitz or Coxbar. Well, maybe not Coxbar, but Blitz or Coxbar, maybe sometimes is thrown there. Sham 69. Like I know that.
Yeah.
It all sounds like punk rock to me. So when people say French oi, I'm like, oh, you mean punk rock?
Like right.
But yeah, so I'm about as clueless as you are with that, you know. But I just, yeah, that listen to that guy talk, just I wanted to reach through my podcatcher, fucking slap him.
I had a good time. I had a good
time. I know you did. Yeah. I know you did.
I like people. Different muscle life.
I don't like people.
Yeah, punk rock.
No, not at all.
Oh man, dude. So one thing I know you're definitely not gonna like. For the record, I love asking you what you're listening to because you're one of the only friends that I have that still listens to music, just in general. You ever try to ask Grant what he's listening to?
No, I don't ever talk to Grant.
Grant, well, same here.
Usually what I ask him, what I ask him is like, are you gonna pick that out of your beard or is that just gonna be there all day?
Right. I'm supposed to see Grant tomorrow.
Tell him I said hello.
I will. But
I love
if
him
I
and miss him.
It's same here, man. If you ever ask Grant what he's listening to, he will not only have no answer, he'll get mad at you for asking. He'll be like, who the fuck has time to listen to music?
I don't know. You can just turn it on and do whatever you're doing throughout your day.
That's my thing. I'm like, I listen to music constantly, like at work, on the way to work, on the way from work, I get home.
How much kids music do you get forced to listen to?
So not so much anymore, now that my youngest is five, and so like it's becoming less and less. It's YouTube, like kids songs now that they discover that I end up kind of getting on the loop with, you know. It's like, I'm like, what the hell are we listening to? And some obnoxious, you know, video game meme song or something. But as of late, I've been pretty safe. Yeah.
My 5-year-old's kind of coming out of that a little bit. Like she's discovering other, you know, like other kinds of music other than like stuff that's just strictly geared for kids. But the 3-year-old, mm-hmm. like, Maria watched Hotel Transylvania the other day.
Yeah.
And I know there's a million of those, but I don't know which one it was, but there's a song on there and it's called Problem, but my youngest, the 3-year-old, calls it the Monster song. She's like, play Monster. And it's a song by this just horrible, horrible human being by the name of Becky G.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know anything about her, but mm-hmm. based on the song alone, I'm assuming she's a horrible human being because it's like it is like the worst song I've heard in a long time. And you know, there are plenty of things I'll talk shit about, you know, just because it's kind of fun, but you've heard me say it before. I'm not out to make people feel bad about what they like, because if they enjoy it, then it has value. It's cool. It's sure. cool. You know, like I famously dislike Kiss, but I'll find stuff that I enjoy about it, like stuff that's entertaining to me. But there's nothing objectively entertaining or good about this. And fucking that goof from Black Eyed Peas does a verse on there, and it's like the worst. Like, how did that guy make any money ever doing anything? Like, it's so fucking bad. And I want you to go listen to it after this and just share my misery, even for just a few seconds.
Share my misery.
Hey, it's so bad. It's so bad. But Maria's coming on out on the other end of that, you know, like your daughter has.
So I learned it early on with my second kid. Is I started playing them kids music that they could grow into being cooler music. They Might Be Giants is a prime example, right? They have mm-hmm. kids records like Here Come the ABCs, Here Come the 1-2-3s, Here Comes Science. All these songs that are very kid friendly. They did the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse theme song. They Might Be Giants is just like known to do a lot of kids stuff. But on the other end of the spectrum, they also made the Flood record, you know, and like to me, They Might Be Giants is one of my like top 20 bands of all time.
Cool.
And so I got my kids started on They Might Be Giants with the kids songs. And then they grow up into listening to like the more mature They Might Be Giants songs. And so now that's kind of where I'm at with my kids. But also, have you ever heard the Raining Tacos song?
Yes, that Perry Grip dude.
Perry Grip. So Perry Grip,
the one song that Maria likes is a cat flushing a toilet.
Yes. This dude's putting out songs like every day, and they're so obnoxious and catchy, and you know, nobody should like it. But
Space Unicorn.
I'm a Nerf Herder fan, man. I love comedic, like that old poppy punk kind of like that 90s. I like Nerf Herder. Pantera fans in love, you know, like and so every time when I first heard that song, I was like, this is the worst thing ever. And then I saw it was Perry Grip, and I go, dude, I have a CD in here that's like all about food from that guy from like 20 years ago. He has like a whole like commercial, like a whole shopping record, like you know, funny to me. And so I'm like, oh, here we are again, just people that I like and my kids. So it's fun to me to listen to that kind of stuff. That's like the kid stuff that I listen to.
A couple of those Perry Grip songs are pretty funny. Like Cat Flush in the Toilet is so obnoxious and kind of funny, but yeah, it's like, kind of like in that Napoleon the 14th, They're Coming to Take Me Away kind of
way. Yeah,
like it's funny like that. It has a Dr. Demento feel to it, even though that's not really what he's going for.
Right.
You know, like it's just weirdo shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one good thing about Disney films is not only great at distracting your children when you're trying to do something,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of music in there. It's not music I really necessarily like, but
right.
it's I can live with it, you know, like some, and there is some of it that is actually genuinely good. I mean, I'll sit and listen to it, except right. my kids do, but I think, okay, well, that's pretty good. But the other thing is, like, they all have this sort of all the main songs have like these big soaring vocals, you know, mm-hmm. and I sort of picked up on that a long time ago, and I started parlaying that into like when I'll play something that I enjoy, I look for the big soaring vocals. Like Maria loves The Cult, like that song Firewoman by The Cult,
because yeah.
big vocals, you know, anything big, Maria's just like, oh, because it ties in with that, like, you know, I mean, Ian Astbury could have sang Let It Go.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh, yeah.
So I try to do that to sort of, you know, Deep Purple's another band I can get away with.
Oh, Maria. Yeah.
I mean, she isn't really, because, you know, Ian Gillan's vocals aren't necessarily soaring all the time, but they're big.
Right.
And, you know, she likes The Police. Which is odd because they're very, they're just different, you know. She likes the Beatles. She's always asked me to play Hey Jude, you know. So, and I'm okay with it. I don't care for the Beatles that much, but they're inoffensive. So,
I think they're pretty good. They seem pretty good.
I'm a songster. Like, there are a lot of songs. Like yeah. they've got they've got tracks, as my buddy Bob puts it, because they've got tracks. But, you know, there's only one record I like from beginning to end all the way through. And then the other stuff is just spotty for me, you know. So
what record is that?
Abbey Road. Okay. Abbey Road's my favorite one. Like, I can listen to that from beginning to end. And just Abbey Road. The rest of them, I kind of have to skip a ton of songs, you know, because I just get kind of like, you know, I start like, okay, I don't need this in my life.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
So I know you don't care about this, but I want to bring this up because I haven't podcasted. I haven't talked about heavy metal or punk or anything in a grip on this. You know, it's an occasional podcast these days. Man, Pantera is doing a reunion tribute cover band show, right? And I know you hate Pantera. I know you hate Pantera.
Yeah.
Me, I grew up, I loved Pantera for a good chunk of my like teen years, right? And then like I kind of just, I don't know, like I just got more into weird stuff in my 20s. And just Pantera always held a place for me. But like, you know, and then every once in a while, like if I would go out and have a few beers or something, Pantera was like really good again. Like I'd get on those the occasional nostalgia kick over the past, you know, 20 years. But I found out that they were doing a reunion thing and I was like, whatever, who cares? And then, and I'm not even a Zakk Wylde guy. I don't even like Zakk Wylde, but then I found out Zakk Wylde was playing. And then Charlie Benante, who is one of my favorite drummers, from Anthrax and SOD, like, I really, really like, and he's a cool dude. Charlie Benante is like, he's just overall a cool dude. He doesn't have any racist tyrants, you know, like allegations going against him. Real cool dude. But I found out about this tour and I got like giddy. And I was like, I want to go. I want to see Zakk Wylde stand in one spot and, you know, attempt to play like Dimebag, which is, you know, I'm going to be that elitist guy going, which is absolutely impossible. You guys will never, ever capture the sound in the field, but I want to go. Why do I want to go to this show so bad? I didn't want to go to Rage Against the Machine when they reunited. Usually like when bands do like these tribute cover things, like, you know, even like the Cavalera brothers, they go out and they're playing. They're like, we're going to play, you know, shit from Arise or whatever. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't need to see you guys cover your own stuff.
Well, make no mistake. If they could legally call themselves Sepultura, the Cavaleras would. They just can't.
Right.
Like, you know, and that makes more sense to me, them doing that, than what is going on with Pantera.
Mm-hmm.
But look, let me just say the negative thought first so I can.
Yeah.
Point out all the things of why it's perfectly fine and why I ultimately don't give a shit one way
or another. Right.
But can we all just agree, including the Phil apologists, people have always been making excuses for this turd of a human being. You know, he's a boil on the ass of humanity. He's like fucking a scumbag, right? I've felt that. I've known that for a long time. But for all the apologists out there, can we just finally agree that this is irrefutable proof that he is a fucking piece of shit? The fact that he wants to tour with Rex and pretend it's Pantera. Can we? Isn't that proof enough that he's a fucking piece of shit? You know, I mean, it's a cash grab. Dude. He tries so hard to be fucking relevant all the time in every circumstance. Oh, dude, I'm way into black metal. Oh, dude, I'm way into punk rock. Oh, dude, and he might be very well into all those things, but
believe it.
It's all about selling his fucking brand, as the kids call it. I fucking hate this dude. Hate him. Talented? Yes, absolutely. The dude can fucking sing his ass off when he sings, but he's a fucking goof. He's a fucking goof. He's everything. He's the kind of metalhead I've always hated.
Yeah.
He's the kind of dude who pretends he likes hardcore and punk that I've always fucking hated. He's a fucking pose dog motherfucker.
Okay.
He sucks. but don't let that, not that it would, that's my arrogance coming out.
Right.
Don't let that dissuade anybody from going to see it, because one.
Yeah.
If it's going to make you happy, man, please do it. I mean, yeah. I mean, it, a lot of people are excited about it, man.
I'm one of those people.
I can't be mad about people wanting to go see that or have a good time with it, because that music meant something to a lot of people,
right?
Regardless of what my fucking arrogant ass says, it meant a lot to a lot of people, and that's cool.
Yeah.
And for every, you know, fucking stone I could throw at that garbage trash ass band, I can say that they were a gateway into, for a lot of people, not everybody, but for a lot of people, into way cooler stuff, into stuff that was really good. They're a big gateway band for people, so that's cool.
They were mine. They were definitely mine. Right. Like, Phil Anselmo was the guy that introduced me to like that New Orleans scene, you know, to bands like Crowbar, to bands like I Hate God, that made me go, oh, like there's a whole thing. He also is like the reason that I ever heard of Suffocation. I had Hit Parader magazine and he was talking about Suffocation. And next thing you know, I'm fucking falling. I'm 12 years old, 13 years old, falling in love with blast beats. But I'm also like going to, you know, Black Flag, that kind of scene and stuff, like, cause Pantera I caught on with pretty early on.
Yeah.
And so they were for me like that. And so maybe that's a big part of why I'm just like, yeah, I definitely want to go see this, because like, even though I'm not a Zakk Wylde guy, I love Dimebag. Daryl's guitar playing is just, to me, it's like this other level of fucking magic.
My like personal opinion on reunion shows has more, and this is excluding Pantera, I'm just talking generally speaking. I sort of look at it on a case by case basis, you know, excuse me. Like personally, I'm not interested in doing reunions with any of my bands. I have done them.
Mm-hmm.
One was absolutely miserable. And I was like, why the fuck did I do this? And the other one was really great, but that was it was a benefit for a friend who was really sick.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't let that, my personal feeling about that, dissuade me from, you know, checking out bands that are doing reunions.
Mm-hmm.
Negative Approach ostensibly is a reunion band, but they've been doing it for almost 10 years now as a reconstituted band.
Right. And yeah.
They were great. I mean, their last LP came out in 83. So I couldn't have seen them. They were done before I started really getting heavy into music, you know?
Yeah.
Who else? Let me think of another bands reunited that I've seen. Well, that's about it. Oh, Infest. Like, I never got to Infest. They were fucking great. But generally speaking, I kind of like just sort of, I'm like, I don't know, man, do I really want to see people get up and, you know, hobble on the stage and, you know, whatever.
Right.
But I get it, man. It's like, so I understand it completely. It's like, I know why people want to see Pantera, and it's, yeah. Like I said, I do have a very strong opinion. I stand by that, but I have to admit, it's kind of cool for people who never got to see him and for people who that band was very important. So, you know, I knew when you sent me a text about talking about reunions, I'm like, he wants me to go in on this lean. And I did.
Yeah.
But I got to be honest. I'm like, I mean, I don't care enough to, well, you know, I mean, I think, The only other reunion where I do have like a lot of curse about is really like the Rage Against the Machine one, because I'm just like, it has more to do with like the whole concept of that band to begin with, you know, more than anything. Hard left politics, yet they engage with like the largest, most capitalist, you know, businesses possible to get their message out to wider masses. You know who likes Rage Against the Machine? People like Paul Ryan. They don't fucking give a fuck about their rest. They just want to mosh and get, you know, act hard in the pit.
Yeah, nobody fuck cares. You won't do, I mean, it. I'm gonna do what you tell me.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, I mean they're gonna be reappropriated for people who don't even agree with them at every fucking opportunity. And so now they're doing a reunion. I'm like, oh, cash grab.
Right.
I mean, you know.
So whatever. I'm gonna go see the Misfits this year with Glenn Danzig, Glenethan Danzig, singing. I got Jerry Only. I got a little tenor right here. Oh, Jerry Only.
Oh, wow.
He's a little fella. You know, Jerry Only, Doyle, who's, you know, whatever. Technically a Misfits reunion, I guess.
Sure.
Dave Lombardo on drums. I'm also stupidly excited about this. Would you be excited about the Misfits, seeing the Misfits? Like, if they were to come to town, would you go?
No, just because of the cost.
Well, I mean, what if cost wasn't an issue?
Well, then I would definitely go.
Yeah, okay.
Because, I mean, because look, you're talking about three of the – Jerry and Glenn are the only founding members, right? Sure. But Doyle was like – figures huge in their catalog, you know, but
– He's a character.
He didn't play on the majority of their music, but he played on the some of the more visible stuff. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I'd go see that, you know. I mean, just like I went to go see that, Misfits were broke up by the time I – discovered up. I did, and I didn't know because, you know, Glenn was putting out all those fucking, you know, Legacy Brutality and Collection One and Collection Two are just fucking outtakes of the million different versions of a bunch of songs and versions that were taken from the Static Age LP. So I didn't know that they weren't still a band until like 6 months after I'd started listening. I'm like, oh wait, you mean they're not a band anymore? I was like bummed out.
When did you first hear the Misfits? Like you're a little bit older than me and stuff.
85, 86.
Oh shit. Okay. Wow.
I mean, you have to understand I was 14 in 86 and I was aware of music, but when I really started deep diving into stuff was I was about 14. Like I was aware of stuff and music was fine. I liked it, but I didn't become passionate about it till that. It was through my cousin's record collection. They had the Night of Living Dead single. They had like original presses and stuff because they're a bit older than I am. They're in their mid-50s and stuff. So they, you know, that stuff was, they could get their hands on it. So that's when I heard them, but I didn't know that they weren't a band anymore. I knew. And so that's why I think I attached to Sam Hain pretty quickly because they were a band in 86. I didn't get to see them, but I was like, oh, wait, he's doing this now. So this is a band. So I love them too, but I mean, yeah, I'd go see them. Like I said, I mean, there's value to reunion shows. I don't know. I mean, I just think it's weird because with the Pantera thing, to circle back to that, didn't he still have a rivalry with Vinny?
And yeah. Vinny?
So that's the other thing that I'm like, yo, man, this guy fucking sucks. Because those guys didn't even like him. And he's going to go out there and play. He's going to go out there and play their music. Yes, he wrote the lyrics and he did the vocal melodies and everything. But they wrote that music. Phil didn't write that fucking music. You know, so I'm kind of like, you know, it's kind of.
Right.
You know, weird. But I'd go see Misfits. I mean, I'm not going to pay that kind of money to go fucking see him in a stadium. It's just like, and it's not me being punk rock. It's me just being like, I don't want to spend the money, dude. You know,
right?
There are other I could go see four or five shows for the price of that ticket of bands that I really like. So, you know, I'm just cheap.
No, I get that.
So, what else is going on in your life aside from your weirdo fascination with Pantera?
So, aside from that, man, dude, I'm back to doing pizza parties. You're doing a show. We're doing shows.
We're doing
within a week. We're doing shows. You throw look, I love that you're putting on a show that I was listening to Thunder Chief this morning, getting in the vibe of it. That's a two-piece band, right?
Yeah. I'm just doing it. Let's be clear here. I'm doing a show.
A show.
Yeah, I'm not my days of booking gigs are over. You know, they have been for several decades, actually, except for the fact that unless I'm playing in the band, I'm not booking shows for other bands. It's a lot of hassle. And I mean, that's no shade to anybody. Those guys have been great. And Andrew at Music has been great, but it's just a lot. And I just don't want to bother, generally speaking. But yeah, Thunder Chief and Actual Form and Sweaty Mammoth.
Yeah.
And it's on the 23rd. It's at Musica. Doors at 7, First Band at 8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't remember. Check on social medias. I'm sure Eric will post all sorts of stuff about this.
I'm going to go ham.
But it's a pretty cool show. The drummer is Eric Larson. He was in a hardcore punk band called Avail that were pretty big in the 90s. Like they were.
Wasn't he in Alabama Thunder Pussy too, right?
He was, but I would say that, at least from my perspective, you know, Avail was a much more, like, I can't express in the DIY underground scene, they were huge. Like huge, like big. and they were unlike any other band out there. I mean, they were just much loved. Alabama Thunder Pussy, of course, he was in that band. He does a lot of other stuff too, but Burns sort of hit me to that they might need help with a show, I think. And I knew he was in the band, so I called my buddy Mike up, who is good friends with Eric Larson, because I don't know Eric at all.
Uh-huh.
But I've known Mike for 30 years. And I said, hey, does Larson need help with a show? And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I was thinking about getting in touch with you. Would you be able to help him? I'm like, yeah, I guess. So, you know, I was more than happy to do it because I like the stuff I heard. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And it gives me a reason to see actual form. Yeah. I haven't seen Sweaty Mammoth live yet.
Oh.
So I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't get out to shows as much as I would like, you know? So I just sort of pick and choose, and I've just missed out on them. So I'm like, it just gives me an excuse to get out and actually go to a show. If I'm putting it on or if I'm playing it, I'm more likely to go to it. Not because I'm a snob, not because of anything, but because my schedule is so packed. I'm like,
and you know that the bands that are playing are good.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I like them. Why would I book? Why would I don't know about you, but I would never book a 3-band bill with any band that I thought was shit. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I mean, I've done it in the past only because like
necessity.
Necessity and just kind of wanting to see if I was missing something.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a local band around here that will go unnamed that I booked the show. I had them play based on somebody else's suggestion. I didn't like it. I'm like, well, maybe live it'll work out. And not only did it not work out as far as them being a band and playing well live, but they also like shit talked me after I gave them like $60.
Oh, saying, real cool.
Never mind that them and all their friends left after they were done playing. And I'm like, all right, dude, you played a show. You drove not even 5 miles to the show.
Yeah.
You got $60 and
right.
So I don't do that much anymore. Work bands that I don't like because a bunch in the ass.
Yeah, I'm the same way too. It's just like if I'm gonna, it's especially like I love that your show is it's a 3-band show.
Yeah.
Four is too many.
Four is the maximum limit for a good show, depending on how long the band sets are. If you're talking about hardcore bands. Look, I generally don't think any band, ANY, capital letters, has any business playing more than 40 minutes.
You're right. Can I say except that for, I fucking agree?
Except for legacy acts. Mistress can play for an hour, whatever. But I don't think any band has any business playing more than 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Maybe if you're the headliner and you got like a really sick cover song, that's going to make it go over that time.
Maybe. I mean, there are exceptions, but
you can feel a room.
That's my general rule. Like there's no reason for you to play more than 40 minutes, but especially with hardcore bands, if you give me more than 25, 30 minutes of hardcore, I'm like, get the fuck off the stage.
Right. Yeah. I got it. That's enough hardcore.
Yeah.
It's enough.
Move on to the next band.
Right, like, please
leave me wanting more. Don't fucking beat me about the head with this.
That's an important one. I feel like especially with like the openers, the idea of leave me wanting more is fucking perfect. I don't know about you, but like as an attendee of these shows, nothing fucking bothers me more than when I feel like the band isn't reading the room.
Yeah.
Get what I mean? And they're like, "Well, we got two more," and you can just hear the life in the room sucked out when they go, "We got two more." No, one more. I'll put all my energy as an attendee, as a listener, into your one song. But you say two more, I'm like, man, I'm about to start smoking cigarettes again.
Have you ever deliberately done something to fuck with the crowd if they weren't feeling you?
Yes. Oh, back in the day, all the time. I would sabotage myself all so much just by doing that shit. Yeah.
Well, like we played Ron's Crossroads, whatever it was called at the time. We played one of those Dan Kogar shows.
Okay. Voodoo.
Yeah. Yep. And everybody hated us. Like they were like not feeling it.
Yeah.
So we just kept playing and deliberately like goading the crowd, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody might say, oh, it's unprofessional or childish or whatever, but it was just like, yeah, maybe, but you know, they were so antagonistic in a way that was just uncool that I'm like, yeah, I think I will play some more songs. Eat a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that. We did that with my rap metal band forever ago. We opened up for Crowbar. Dan Call hooked us up, dude. And it was weird. It was like two other bands that played. It was like a 4-band bill. And we I had like orange spiky hair, and we played opening up for Crowbar. And I always say that it was the worst show I've ever played. Like if they could have thrown shit at us, they would have. I'm pretty sure Mike Burns was there with his arms crossed, just like, fuck you guys, because that dude hated our band and shit, right? But like we just started, I just kept quoting Will Smith. I was like, you guys ready to get jiggy with it? And they're like, no. And I was like, you said yes. And we just went through it, just pissing off these people so hard that like, but like the Crowbar dudes, they were really nice to us. And then there was like a guy that was on the road with them, doing the merch, and he's in Goat Horror and Soylent Green and all these like really like more like underground bands that I'm a huge fan of. And he was really cool to us. So I was like, well, at least we got their approval. 'Cause he was like, that was funny. And I was like, that's all I needed.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, that's all I needed was your approval, because your fans, you know, they didn't get it. But yeah, no, totally. I've totally done that.
But that's both those examples that you and I just gave aren't examples. Uh-huh. They're not us not being able to read the room.
Right.
It's us reading the room and saying, you know what, fuck off.
I hate this room. This room can suck my dick.
I hate this room. There's not enough sunlight. And the windows you do have in this room, the drapes are ugly. Fuck this.
Right. Yeah. I once booked a show and I had to tell a band because they were notorious for going over on time. And I had to tell them, I go, you got,
who was it?
I can't say.
Who was it?
But they're notorious for going like way over. Like I'm talking like I've seen Foo them Fighters. Play. It was the Foo Fighters. It was Freddie Gibbs. Yeah, we I made a comment and I go, hey, just so you know, you guys got 35. And he goes, I don't know, I think we're gonna wing it. Like the guitar player goes, I think we're gonna wing it. I was like, yeah, he goes, we have like an hour of stuff that we practiced. And I go, cut 25 minutes of the worst part. And he was like, he goes, there is no worst part. And I go, there is. I was like, there is. Trust me, there is. Trim the fat a little bit, just a little bit. And like, we didn't get too into it, but I did kind of feel like a dick being like the concert promoter guy going like, this is how I want the show to be.
But that's like, not being a dick though. That's being considerate of the other bands on the bill.
Oh yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like you want to do things on a system. And also, not only is it considerate to them, it's considerate to the audience too, that like there is a flow that goes, you know, I've talked about it a bunch of times. There's a flow that goes into a show. And I don't know about you, but when I'm putting together a show, like I have a show the week after yours, right? We're doing Keeping It 99 Presents Pizza Party with Wall Creeper, something involving a monkey and cheap heat at Annabelle's. It's $5. It's free if you have a Rubber City Tattoo Invitational wristband. It's a part of this whole deal that we're doing with my dude, Tony.
Tell me more.
That was pretty much it.
No? What kind of pizza are you having?
There's going to be cheese pizza. There's going to be pepperoni pizza. Mr. Zubs. Mr. Zubs. Yeah, it's all sponsored and shit. It's funny, man. I looked at the poster and I was looking at the tattoo shops and the Zubs, like the little sponsor things. I go, I work at all of these places. This poster is essentially all of my jobs.
And all this is for $19.95. Where can I order?
Oh, where can I get more?
$4. But anyway.
I can hear you.
I had to, my microphone unplugged for a second. But yeah.
You're breaking up.
Still breaking up?
No, you're fine now.
What the hell? Now I'm fine?
I think that your gravitational pull's fucking up your microphone.
Probably. But, okay.
Did you see I low-key called you big as a planet?
Yeah, yeah. It's all that it's all the power lifting that I'm doing.
You're gonna be like, who's that dude from Game of Thrones, the mountain?
Yeah,
you're gonna be like that dude.
I told Jess last night, I was like I'm not really dropping weight as much as I'm just getting bigger now. Like, things are just getting bigger. I was like, that's my chest is my chest is getting bigger, my arms are getting bigger, and I just keep lifting weight and eating protein.
And she's like, and Jess said, yes daddy.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But no, I was going to say, all right, we'll cut some of this shit.
No, leave it in.
But no, I was saying, like, when I did the show, like, booked it, I was like, oh, this is going to be fun, because Cheapy, in my head, right, I'm like, they kick off everything. They're a fun band. They're a three-piece band. They do some wrestling things. They're engaging with the audience. A great way. They've proved it before, you know, great way to kick off a fucking pizza party. I love those dudes. They're catchy in their own right, but it's also like, it's punk and it's rocking. And I'm like, something involving a monkey is a band that I've never booked before, that I don't think people know what to expect, but they're absolute insanity. You know, they bring in, they got keyboards and all kinds of crazy sounds. Their bass player is insane. They're like a super, super talented group of musicians that they could be on Dr. Demento.
You know, is there a monkey though?
It's something involving a monkey.
That's but not necessarily false advertising.
It's involving a monkey.
All right.
Something. You have to go to find out exactly for sure.
All right.
That's how I promote it.
Like, hopefully it's not a George Romero monkey shines type thing where people get slaughtered by a monkey with a straight razor.
I don't know. I mean, that would make the paper, and then people would come to the next show. Maybe. And then Wall Creeper is just they're Wall Creeper. Yeah, they're proven. They're especially in Highland Square. I love doing shows with these guys. I have another one in mind already for like September, October that I want to do with these guys. I'll book Wall Creeper every day of the week if I could in every city. I think so highly of them, and their energy and just what they do is fucking fantastic. Like, I think
pretty fucking good.
And the fact that they keep saying yes to these pizza parties is, dude, like, what an honor. Why would they
say no?
I mean, I don't know.
They're fun. Yeah, I like Wall Creeper a lot. I've sang their praises from the mountaintop. They're pretty fucking great.
But it's like when I put the lineup together, I was like, this is how it goes. There's going to be a flow to the evening. And they're all professionals. You know what I mean? Like, they all know what they're doing.
Well, and I mean, if you're talking about Sean McDonald, that's a bit of a stretch, but you know.
Right.
You know.
But yeah. And hopefully, I mean, I'm not going to have to tell any of these guys anything. You know what I mean? Just let them do their thing. It's going to be a good night. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to go to your show. I haven't been like stoked on going out to shows. I'm actually missing a pro wrestling show to go to your show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
who's wrestling?
Johnny Gargano. Some people from the AEW, I believe, are going to be up there. Danhausen.
I mean, mud show wrestlers.
No, it's indie wrestlers. There's no. It's gonna be a good time. It's gonna be a good time for anybody in attendance.
Look, is Thunder Rosa gonna be there?
Not this time.
No, because I was gonna say then I might bail on my own show to go see her. But nope. That's just me.
I'm going to see Thunder Chief instead of Thunder Rosa. There you go.
Yeah, I think both shows are going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the one at Musica, just because I haven't been to Musica in a minute since before the pandemic. And Andrew does a good job. And when he took over the reins for Jen specifically called me and said, hey, this is the person you want to go to if you need help. He's a good dude. And he has been. Jen wasn't wrong.
Right.
And the Thunder Chief is cool. Sweaty Mammoth is cool. Actual Form is cool. And who I didn't talk too much about, but they always are fucking really, really great. Actual Form is just, I don't know. They're top tier. They're just a great band. They're a band that does something that I normally don't like, but they do it so well that instrumental proggy metal just mm-hmm. sounds like, if somebody said to me, oh, you might like to spend your instrument probably, man, I'll be like, dude, get that shit on my fucking face. That's what I might say.
Yeah.
But again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. These guys write songs, like, you know, and that's important. They have hooks and through lines and things that make sense, and not to mention them being great musicians. But it's going to be a really fun night. I would encourage anybody who's listening to this to come out. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And also, I'm gonna back Eric and say I would encourage anybody who's listening to go out and go to the pizza party too.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about something about a monkey, but I can vouch for cheap heat in spite of Brandon's piss poor attitude and lack of education beyond the sixth grade level.
Yeah. They're
still a great band. And yeah, I mean, Wall Creeper is just gonna probably give me the middle finger and I'll go home and cry on my big pillow.
Right.
You know, cry myself to sleep. But
that's what they do. Yeah, yeah, they open every show with just like, we're Wall Creeper, fuck you. And then it's like, oh, and then it's fucking on. Yeah, I'm really looking forward. I'm really like, out of all the stuff that's going on, aside from the pizza, I'm really looking forward to seeing people's reaction to something involving a monkey. Just because
I'm curious,
a band I've been a fan of theirs for years, because I'm a Dr. Demento guy, right? Mm-hmm. I like not to brag, I've had some songs on Dr. Demento. I'm friends with the guy. Just an icon. But when I hear music that I'm like, oh, that would be good for a Dr. Demento themed radio show. They were like, they have like a Halloween record. I love comedy music. But like, I also love when the joke is sold based off of how musically talented the band is too. It's one thing to be funny and just to be shitty at music, but the joke really sells when it's a big production. You put a lot of work into it. And then lyrically you're like, here's the joke. It's, this band is that they can go as hard as anybody else. They can get as proggy as anybody else. They can go as punk rock as anybody else. They have all different kinds of styles of music and their stuff. And they have an attitude that I just absolutely adore. And I think that people that are used to the pizza parties now, cause like, mm-hmm. they kind of got like their own little thing up in the Highland Square. They kind of have their own little, you know, feel. And you know what, if Wall Creeper's coming, like somebody's getting punched, something, somebody's falling down, maybe, possibly. I don't know. I can't predict. Watch three people be there and nothing happened, but that's fine too. Those are shows as well. But like, I'm excited about people seeing something. I'm happy to bring more bands from Cleveland down.
Yeah.
And so, but this is a band that I've been a fan of for years. I'm honestly shocked that they said yes. I waited to ask them because I was just like, I don't think it's possible. Like, I don't think they'll do it. They're doing like all kinds of shows all over the place. And I was like, they'll probably be busy. And when they said, yeah, I was like, wait, for fucking real. And so, yeah, I'm excited.
Keep acting shocked about this stuff. And the fact is people like your pizza parties, dude. So people are going to say yes, if they can. So stop being surprised.
No,
stop being surprised.
No,
you can be humble, but you can also not be surprised. It's like, you know,
well, I'm a simple man. A lot of things just shock me. So,
okay, Ronnie Van Zant.
Yep.
What do you got going on today? Before I try to force you into wrapping it up,
because I got to wrap it up, dude. Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm leaving for Atlanta. I'm driving. A half hour.
Yeah.
And I was at Zub's last night till 2:30 in the morning. So
nice.
I forgot to ask you what you've been listening to lately. Ask me?
Yeah.
I didn't reciprocate. What have you been listening to?
You hip to Viagra Boys at all?
I know them. Yeah.
Their new record, Cave World, you should seriously. I think you would really, you like Devo. You like that kind of, dude, listen to Cave World for real. If you, dead serious, like that record beginning to end, bro. It's a bit of a game changer. Like it's one of those albums that I started hitting up.
Really though, a game changer.
Well, as far as like,
is music gonna drastically? Is there gonna be a seismic shift in the world of music? Then it's not a game changer
for me. It's a game changer in the fact that it's music that I will always be like, I'm gonna listen to forever. Like it's now part of my catalog. Okay. So when I say something's a game changer, I'm like, this is like stuff that to me it's like an instant classic in the bubble that is my brain that listens to music. I'm putting this on playlist. I'm telling people like, I really want people to listen to it. Not only do I want my friends to listen to it, I want to know what they think about it, because it's like one of those weird, like, it's kind of politically charged, very politically charged. And it's so making fun of so many different personalities that I think you'll enjoy that, because they seem to be, you know, kind of more on the progressive, you know, definitely on the more progressive side. But it's funny musically. It's like there's stuff in there that is so Devo. So, like, I don't know. It's just groovy. It's fun. It's awesome. Viagra Boys. That's what I've been listening to. I want everybody to listen to it. And yeah, it's a game changer.
Yeah, I think that I was just giving you shit because a lot of people say that. And I'm like, yo, it's not a game changer.
No, no, no. When I say it, I mean, like, for me, like, it's just like, I'm going to listen to this forever.
I actually know what you mean when you say it. I was just giving you shit. But when other people say it, I'm just like, shut the fuck up with that.
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, Turnstile invented hardcore. It's a game
changer.
I'm sorry. Sorry, buddy. I know.
And listen. I don't hate Turnstile. I don't. I do, but I don't. Like,
right.
There's nothing wrong with them, you know? And I have come to sort of realize that people are going to self-identify however they want, and their fans will identify their music however they want.
Yeah.
But if someone corners me, which nobody has, his Turnstile hardcore band, I'm saying no. There are dudes from the hardcore scene that are playing an amalgam of alt rock and hardcore, but it's not hardcore. Does it sound like the first Minor Threat EP? No. Does it sound like Agnostic Front, Victim in Pain? No. It's not hardcore. And that doesn't mean it's good, bad, or otherwise. It just means it's not that thing. Certain things are very specific, and they're, you know. But there are plenty of bands that are still playing hardcore. Turnstile just isn't one of them. However, they're really cool. They're a really cool band for people to be into. I don't like them. I hate the music. But they are seriously. I mean that. They are a really cool band for people to be into. They're opening a lot of people up to other stuff. They're again, like I was talking about Pantera, they're a big gateway band for people. And I have a great story about my buddy Josh's daughter when they played in Cleveland. I've told this elsewhere. They somehow finagled their way backstage, Josh and his wife Michelle and Bella, who's 11. And they were talking to him. They were all super nice. And they said, well, you guys can just watch from the side of stage. Last song, last verse, the singer, whose name is Brandon, I think, dragged her out on the stage and sang the last verse with her. And that's fucking cool, man.
That's awesome.
I know a lot of people be like, oh, that's fucking corny. No, that's fucking cool. That's an 11-year-old kid who's going to dive into hardcore punk music and have their life changed by other stuff. It's cool for them to do. If Wall Creeper did that, I'd be like, you guys are fucking corny. Because that's not what Wall Creeper's about. But Turnstile has this vibe of, like, you know, being inclusive and bringing people in. And it's cool that they did that. I still hate their fucking music, but they're a cool band, man. I mean, that's what I mean by that. I can accept something on its own terms, but I just don't have to necessarily like it. And I just take issue with the way people label stuff. And I know ultimately it doesn't mean anything, but, you know, when you grow up in an era when you got beat up for liking punk rock and hardcore, then you do take a little bit personal.
Right.
It also means I'm maladjusted.
True,
you know, but so sorry about the tangent. You can cut that if you want.
No, I'm gonna keep it. That's a great way to carry us off.
Yeah, we can carry us off with that. And hey everybody, Pantera tickets are on sale. Go get them. In fact, Pantera's playing a pizza party.
Yeah, Pantera. And,
but it's just Phil doing white power spoken word.
Jesus Christ.
Phil's gonna make a special appearance at one of Eric's pizza parties. Reading select passages from Mein Kampf.
I hope to podcast with Grant. I'm curious. I have, like, so many questions. Like, are they gonna bring out a Confederate flag? Or is it like,
no,
what is not the 2022, you know, like, what is this version? It's gonna be interesting. But I'll go.
They're just going to get up and they're going to do the songs, and Phil's going to bro, and he's going to make $1 million, and Rex is going to make $1 million, and for the people that are really going to enjoy that, they're going to have a great time. And
hell yeah,
in its own way, that's brother. Cool. I mean, I just fucking hate Fred Solo.
Fair. That's fair. That's fair.
But it'll be a lot of fun for people who, you know, for those kind of people like that sort of thing, they're really going to like it.
Yeah. Well, heck yeah. July 23rd, this Saturday.
Yep.
Actual Form, one of the funnest bands to watch live. Like, they steal the show all the time. Thunder Chief, they're coming from Richmond, Virginia, a place where my favorite metal band, Gwar, also is located from. They're doing like some shows. They're touring, so they're making that stop that night.
I think they're at Youngstown the night before. I'm not sure.
Westside Bowl, I think the night after. Yeah. Sweaty Mammoth is a band that I've sung their praises for years. One of my favorite.
They're Jess's favorite band.
They're one of my favorite, like top five fucking favorite all time, just like Northeast Ohio. Like, I really, really love these cats. Once again, just like another fantastic band to watch live. You put together a fucking sweet ass show. And then, the next week, come to the pizza party.
The night before, I'm DJing at Zev's with Matt. If you want to come here, some deep funk and soul and shit like that. And a little bit of power pop, a little bit of glam, punk rock. We'll thread that needle. We'll make it happen. Just come out and hang out. It's free.
I'll stop. If you don't like the music, across the street tonight.
And for those who are listening, if you don't like the music, if you show up and you hate it, you can always leave.
Yeah.
And not feel bad because you didn't pay to get in.
Yeah.
You can go home on your iPod and listen to whatever you want to listen to there if you don't like what we're playing.
Go order a pizza at the very least.
You can get a slice. They're doing slices now.
After 10 o'clock, we do pizza by the slice. So
you go do that. And then you can leave if you don't like what we're playing.
Go fuck yourself.
No, not even that. I'm just letting people know it's okay. My feelings won't be hurt.
His won't, but mine will. Go fuck yourself, guys.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thank you, dude, so much. You safe travels. That Viagra Boys record, bro. If you do end up listening to that, I want to know what you think of it, because I think you would dig it, dude. It's a fun,
you'll be the first to know since you brought him up.
It is a fun time, dude. All right, man. I'll talk to you later, brother. Thank you so much.
Peace, dude.
Later.